Hi, my name is Moni Calgett, and I just want to give you all some context to my project. I wish I had one of those really super cool radio people to introduce me, but I'm not in NPR, and I don't quite have the budget for that. Instead, I'm just gonna tell you a little bit about what you'll be hearing today. So, listeners, you will be hearing about empathetic listening, about trying to find the narrative behind what's being said. Today, I'll be trying to take you into the story and the character behind two Dear Abby letters. You're going to meet Frank, and you're going to meet a young struggling mother, Jenny. I really hope that you enjoy these characters as much as I have writing about them and learning about them and listening to their stories behind their words. Sit back, enjoy, listen to my radio narratives.
What I'm searching for, tell it straight. I'm trying to build a wall. Walking by myself.
We spend most of our conversing lives listening to others, but not actually hearing them. We chit-chat with our neighbors, but often miss what lies beneath their words. We talk to a loved one over the phone in routine fashion, but do not notice how much they truly miss us. We even listen to the radio as if it were just background music, dribbling from our dashboard, and forget to hear the moral behind the broadcast. We listen, but do not hear. That's right, we listen, but do not hear. I came to this glaring realization one morning at the breakfast table. I was hunkered down right next to a sunny window, sheltered by a colossal stack of Sunday papers. With only a paltry ration of Frosted Flakes and a banana to get me through the morning, I started to scale the stack of papers. My journey began with the Dear Abby column. I read a letter seeking advice about a relationship gone sour. I thought to myself, everyone has that sort of problem. Why even bother sending in a letter? To my surprise, Abby's advice mirrored my thoughts. Then, like some sort of epiphany, I was just slapped across the cheek. My skin still pink and my head throbbing with shame, I reread the Relationship Gone Sour letter, only to realize that all the ominous signs of domestic abuse and depression undercut this advice seeker's cry for help. At that moment, I began to comprehend why hearing and not just listening to the story behind someone's words is so vital. Why empathetic listening must become compulsory. So why don't you give it a try? Listen to the narratives behind the words of these two Dear Abby letters and see if you too can hone your empathetic listening skills.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, through my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs.
It was like someone shot me in the face. This headache is a testament to why I just should have stayed in bed last weekend. Friday was fun. Saturday started to slip. And Sunday, I lost my favorite belt buckle. It was one of those rodeo belt buckles. The size of a dinner plate. You could eat the gold jewel right off it. People always say to me, how long did you have to ride a bull to get that? And I'd say, oh, about 10 seconds, more or less. And you know what? I've never been to a rodeo in my life. I got the thing at Benny's, a pawn shop down the road. Let me tell you about my weekend. Friday, I hit up all my routine stops. I'm retired. I used to be a bookie. Now I just dabble here and there when I need some cash. I hit up the pool hall, swung by Benny's for a ham and cheese sandwich. His is the only place in town where you can hock your grandmother's watch for a rifle, a used video, and then grab a bite to eat while you're at it. It's wonderful. Then I went by the tracks. I got lucky for a change. Decided to celebrate. I took the crew out for drinks and must have passed out in the bar bathroom because Joyce claims I never came home that night. Which brings us to Saturday, where I found myself arguing with the card shark and his collector about owing them money. Fools. Call me an old man. I could smell the money gluttony on his nasty cigarette breath. They say I can point that out pretty well. Anyway, I don't even gamble for money. I gamble for the thrill. You gotta get your kick somehow. Well, I guess I wasn't as lucky at the tracks as I remembered. A bit more arguing, and I realized I couldn't shake these scoundrels off my tail. So Joyce bailed me out with a couple $100 and then gave me an earful.
You're too old for this, Frank. You're almost 70. You got a real problem. No more gambling. Can't even fix your own eggs. Nag, nag, nag.
I figured she'd cool off if I left the house for a bit, and she always does. So I tried to sneak into the bingo at the senior center, but I've been banned on a little snafu I had there a few weeks ago. Said I just park in the library lot across the street. No one's ever there on Saturday night anyway. I sat on the hood of my car and watched the stars. I know it's cheesy, but it makes me happy. Next day, woke up and saw a note saying that Joyce left me. And I knew she was gone because she didn't leave a number or where she was going. Or any advice, she just was fed up. I mean, I don't really need her. I've been alone before. I've lived a free life. I don't even mind. But she's right. I can't even fix my own eggs. There's no one to talk to, except the darn cat, Bocephus. Well, that darn cat won't even come near me. Joyce always fed the cat, and I can't even get it to eat. Won't even let me pet it. I just don't know what to do. Dear Abby, my lady friend has left me. She's one heck of a gal. She treats me real good. She's the only one that'll put up with my rough and tumble ways. Now that she's gone, I can't get the darn cat to eat. She's always fed the cat. I'm worried for the little critter. I think it misses her. I don't want no cat moping around my home with cat depression or the like. I've tried feeding it everything. Tuna, milk, that dry cardboard stuff. It won't eat anything. I've realized I still need my lady friend. I still want her. I still love her. Please help. Caught up with cat troubles in Tennessee. Frank.
Isabella, put that down. I'm gonna take that Barbie away from you if you don't come here right now. Never have kids young. Better yet, never have kids. They're all stubborn little beasts with sticky hands. They're always into something. Jam or glue or something. I'm not sure what, but they've always got sticky jam hands. I've got two of the little monsters. Eddie, he's 3. And Isabella, she's 5. They can be terrors, but nevertheless, I love them. God knows they soak up everything, and I mean everything. They have both started to call me by my first name, Jenny, instead of Mommy. Heavens forbid. They'll stand in the kitchen doorway while I dry dishes and ask, Jenny, can we please have a cookie? Jenny, Jenny! And then they'll just stand there and giggle. I get a bit miffed and shout back, I'm not Jenny to you. It's Mom. Call me Mom. It doesn't help that my husband, Rob, just laughs it off. Sitting there on the couch like a passive specter, he's never any help. He's the one they got it from in the first place. I tell him, wait till they start calling you Rob, and then we'll see who's laughing. It drives me insane. However, every Wednesday night, I get to escape this madness for a few blissful hours. That's when my book club meets. I love my family dearly, but I rather enjoy this time away. We read a lot of romance novels, Nora Roberts, anything on Oprah's book club list, really. Nothing too serious. Last month we read Sea Swept, and I just didn't even see Ray's death coming. It was a jaw-dropper. The girls make fun of me, though, because I like to underline words I don't know. Makes me feel scholarly and sophisticated. Yep, every Wednesday night at Dora Lee's house, Peggy brings mimosas and finger sandwiches, I bring the deviled eggs and new book selections, and Cynthia brings her big mouth. It's true, though. Cynthia has a big mouth. I only say this because about 2 years ago, I stumbled across the perfect babysitter. She's punctual. She's Red Cross trained. She brings games to play. She knows how to get Eddie to eat broccoli. The kids love her, and she's always available Wednesday nights. Well, that was, of course, up until I decided to give Cynthia her number. That itch blabbed to every family west of the Rockies about how great a babysitter she'd found. Now, every time I try to book a babysitter for my Wednesday night book club, she's unavailable. My husband's no help. He told me I'm overreacting. Overreacting, and maybe I am. But even though this is a seemingly small trouble, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I feel overwhelmed, so I broke down and wrote this letter and sent it to one of those syndicated advice columnists. Dear Abby, I recently shared the name of my babysitter with a friend. My friend said she needed an occasional sitter to relieve her parents every now and then. Unlike my friend, we have no family in town and my husband works the graveyard shift. So I'm dependent on this particular sitter. But now, every time I call our babysitter, she's booked by someone else, usually my friend. I can't even attend the book club we are both a part of because my friend has my sitter. I feel very used and very frustrated. How should I deal with this situation? Strap for a sitter in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
They'll hurt me bad, but I won't mind. They'll hurt me bad, they do it all the time. Yeah, yeah, they do it all the time.
We listen, but do not hear. We listen to someone's trouble feeding their cat, but do not hear the loneliness in their voice. We listen to a young mother's struggle finding a babysitter, but do not hear that she is overwhelmed. We listen and nod understandingly, but do not hear and do not respond even considerately. But if we begin to attune ourselves to recognize that there is a person who struggles behind every word, behind every worry, no matter how small, if we recognize that their struggles are similar to our own, we can manifest the compassion needed to hear and not just listen.
Dear Abby, got a problem.